Everyone, welcome to our village board meeting. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green is excused. Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Okay. We've had a request. There will be no action taken on item number 5 this evening, correct, Brad? So we won't be talking about that. And there's been a request from Lamar Sign, Mr. Schneider, to delay the discussion on number 8 because he is not feeling well. And he wanted to be here to be able to address everyone's concerns. So we will not be talking about that. We'll see if it gets in the next agenda or not, depending on. We'll leave that up to Mr. Schneider. Are there any other modifications to this evening's agenda? Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as amended? Trustee Sampson, seconded by.
I'll second.
Trustee Dart, thank you. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Move on to number 3, announcements. Autumn Fest at Resurrection Catholic Parish is going to be held on Sunday, August 26th, from 11:30 to 3:30 on the parish grounds at 333 Hilltop Drive. It's open to all, so if you'd like to go have some fun, they always throw a good celebration. Next, we received a letter from Brown County. And I'll just read it. It says, good morning. Per our agreement, I am happy to inform all of you that no funding will be required for your municipality for the 2017-2018 Fox River Trail maintenance duties. The total cost was $7,600, and we have agreed that Brown County would fund the first $10,700. So thank you to our Brown County supervisors for doing that. And they're looking forward to us participating in that again next year, but good news. I think that works for everyone. Are there any other announcements from the board? Any announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 4, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience this evening that would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? No.
I'm at 812 Derby Lane. I wanted to address the issue of.
You can lower it if you'd like.
The fact that you all know that we're the Robinson Hill Neighborhood Association. You know where we are.
Do I speak into the microphone, please?
Sorry. It's so everyone else
okay.
Can hear you.
Here's the feedback in my hearing aid is the problem. You know that what we're interested in, we're very passionate about our neighborhood, about preserving and improving our neighborhood. We love Alloway. And and you know how to reach us very simply with an email, and then I can, you know, I contact everybody. And I've asked a couple of times, at least you, Jim, and I think I sent it to, I'm sure I sent one email to all of you, that if there's something that's coming up that's in our area or that you think might be of interest to us or is going to affect us, cooperate with us. And just let me know, and I'll let everyone know that is coming up for discussion or being sent to a committee or whatever. But this is what, you know, neighborhood associations all over the country do with their local governments, and we want to be cooperative and this on this issue, we're not getting cooperation back, so I'm asking again. Just email me, and I can send out an email to everyone if it's an issue that comes up. Doesn't have to be 201 feet away or 198 feet away from the issue, because you know how to reach us. It's not a cost issue of sending out mail.
Right. It's Did you receive the agendas, right?
I do, but okay. Jim, you know, that's really not an answer. I'm asking for cooperation, that we work together, neighborhood association and local government. That's what... Yeah. That's.
But the thing is, at least on the village board agenda, and we're happy to improve communication, but the agenda is set, finalized about the day before it's sent out. So... But what else could we do?
Well, if there's an issue, it doesn't have to be, you know, come to a meeting, this item's on the agenda. Mm-hmm. We want to work with you in a positive way on things that affect us. So it doesn't have to be that it's going to be on the agenda the next day. That's not the issue. If it's something that's going to affect us, something that might be built, a zoning issue, or something that you know is coming up that will affect our neighborhood, it's just such a simple thing. To send an email.
Okay.
Right? I mean, and I've asked all of you, and any one of you can certainly do that, and it seems like a simple thing, especially because that's part of what a neighborhood association does, is work with the local government. Mm-hmm. You know, it shouldn't be an adversarial thing, or
I surely hope it's not adversarial.
That's why I'm asking for the third time for this simple, you know, for cooperation, for working together.
I'm happy to do so. I'm not sure where we didn't do that. Can you give me an example? And that's not being adversarial. I'm just trying to understand.
This sign issue.
Yep.
As soon as, why weren't we told about it? You know that is right by our neighborhood. It's not by your neighborhood. It's by ours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a most recent example.
Okay. The way we let people know that was Mr. Schneider came to the village board meeting and requested to be put on an agenda. And then our form of communication is to document that in the minutes, and okay. We send the minutes up. So is that not working for you?
You heard my request now okay. For the third time. It just seems
very
that
good.
We're asking for you to cooperate with us, and we want so we can cooperate with you and
right.
make it all better. That's the one goal. We have no hidden agenda, just to make things better for our neighborhood and for Alloway.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you. Matthew.
One thing that I interpreted is, and maybe the wrong thing from what you said, and I just hope to address, is that the board is not having discussions about upcoming agenda items ahead of time. So we're not going back and forth with each other about should this be on, should it not be on. We're not allowed to do that. Otherwise, it would be a board meeting. So I don't know. I don't know if anyone else interpreted it that way. But if I say that, hopefully that will provide a little bit of clarification in terms of what comes up on the agenda. We're not discussing
again.
It's not
just agenda items, though, Matt. It's issues. Doesn't have to be an immediate agenda item. It's issues that affect us.
Point taken. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak this evening?
Jim Overark, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee, and I was on the committee that selected Grave to do the corridor study with Penny and Brad. The corridor study was only half completed, and there's no plans to finish the corridor study, so I'd like to see the funding that was supposed to be for the corridor study go into updating the comprehensive plan and to facilitate the zoning rewrite that is currently going to be started. So that's going to take a year and a half to rewrite the zoning code. We're going to get a great brand new zoning code put new, getting rid of the industrial land along the riverfront and putting in commercial property with mixed use, and there's a lot of plans out there. So I would like to see the neighborhoods included in that, and that's where it comes up. And I think that the comprehensive plan, the village only needs one master document, and that should be the comprehensive plan, and then annual updates would be helpful to it. So I'd like to see the money from the corridor study going towards updating the comprehensive plan and to facilitating neighborhood participation in the zoning rewrite. Thanks.
Thank you. Trustee Dart.
Can I just verify something with staff? Was there money put away for more of a study? I don't believe so. I don't believe that's a true statement. I don't remember. I could be wrong.
There's not been any funds allocated towards the completion or the second season.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that's on? Yeah. Stand up, sir.
You guys know my name already, but I'll try to reach
But we'd
you.
Like to hear it.
Yeah, that's it. My name is Don Johnson, 1622 Rustic Oaks Court. And I have a question. So are we to assume that the brewery and the restaurant has been approved, rubber stamp, it's going ahead?
I don't think we can assume that.
We can't assume.
We're working on that.
Oh, it's not a done deal?
But it's not a rubber stamp done deal, no.
Okay, all right. So, can you tell us where we're at on it?
I can tell you we're still working on it.
Still working on it.
And we hope to be close, but we keep working on it.
Yeah, and I agree with the first lady here.
I'll be more specific. We're working on a developer's agreement right now with the developer.
Okay, well, I just came up here to just say that, we want to be good neighbors, but we expect good neighbors. You know, I mean, it's pretty simple. Okay. And I agree with the first lady that was up here about digital signs. I can't think of any place in Alloway where a digital sign would be welcome. It doesn't belong here.
Okay. Thank you for your
input. That's my feelings.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this topic or on any topic this evening? Come on up. Thank you. Could you give us your name and address, please?
My name is Elizabeth Yeager. I live at 703 Alloway Terrace.
Thank you.
And I may have misunderstood, so please forgive me if I'm out of line. I thought the item about signage was tabled and we weren't discussing it, but this gentleman addressed it, and so may I speak to it or not? This is my first meeting here.
Technically, it's not on the agenda, so yes, you can.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay. I just want to voice that I also strongly oppose it. I think it is so inappropriate for our lovely neighborhood, and it would so taint the sweetness of home. So that would just be a fly in the ointment, and I didn't come prepared with words, but I think my sentiment is registered as best I could do it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Come on up.
Karen Sees, 805 Alloway Terrace. As you know, I have emailed all of you with regard to the signage issue. I think I say things better in writing than I do talking, so I'm just emphasizing that. I'm a bit dismayed, quite frankly, that it's not on the agenda item tonight, except for the fact that if they were talking about action and were concerned about action, maybe that's how I should look at that no, we're not going to do that. I don't know, but I would just second what everybody else has said. I find it, to be quite honest, somewhat appalling that after we fought this battle last fall with a lot of research, with presenting the material to the Zoning Commission, as I stated in my email, the reasons for not doing this sign are every bit as clear as the previous case, in some cases more so, because it's a slight hill before this sign. It's also my street, Alloway Terrace, and an alley right after the sign, and that makes turning an issue. I have heard and listened to the tape of the person from Lamar talk about the fact that PSAs, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Webster at Newmarket does it. I figure there are just a lot of other ways to do that. It's just not an appropriate thing for our neighborhood, an older historical neighborhood. It's documented that property values go down. It is just an eyesore. I think it's the kind of thing most people don't think about until it's there, and then we can't do anything. So I, for one, am joining with my neighbors and doing whatever we can to see that this doesn't happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak on anything this evening that's not on the agenda? I would just like to address everyone's concern about the digital billboard. As you know, the request came up last year to have it further down on Monroe across from Lindemann's, and the village board agreed with you. The village board said no. And we did so in great part because of your input and because of the way that we feel about things. That doesn't stop people from asking, nor do I think it should stop anyone from asking. We are a government body, and if somewhat we want to be friendly to residents, we want to be friendly to businesses. Because as a community, we have residents, businesses, and community organizations. Together we make up Alloway. And so if someone makes a request, I think they should be heard. Doesn't mean we're going to say yes. It means we're going to listen. So, and this board has demonstrated an interest in listening to people. And the outcomes so far have been what you're looking for. So for someone to come and ask us to consider a digital billboard in another location, I consider that a different request. And we'll listen. And we'll listen to you and demonstrating that we did last time. So that's why we do it. It's a government and people have a right to ask a question. Come on up.
My name is on record already.
Yep.
Okay. Is it possible to make some sort of law that prohibits it in that signage, that digital signage in Alloway, period?
It's possible. I guess we could consider that at some point. Brad?
It's already not allowed.
Yeah, it's already.
New billboards
are not
allowed.
The billboard is not allowed.
Val can speak to that. I know she's quite informed and articulate.
Yeah.
And forgive my ignorance, but it just seemed like the obvious thing to do. But if it's already not allowed, why would you consider it?
Because laws are made or rules are made, and people can ask for exceptions to the rule. Just like residents can. If they want to build a shed closer to their property line, they can come to us and ask for a variance or a change.
So that's the posture he's presenting it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jim, could I add on to that? I'm new, so I was not part of this debate last year.
Yep.
And going back to, it's new business. So if we were to consider this, I think we would ask the staff to do some research for us. However, when I got the letters or emails from a couple people in the audience, I was curious, so I went online on my own, not in consultation with anybody else, and read up a little bit on what other municipalities are doing. And when you say we did this a year ago, why would we change it? Technology changes so fast. And people are coming up with novel, you know, how much candle power, accommodations. So I at least want to, the situation may have changed a little bit since a year ago. Maybe not, you're shaking your head no, but I've got to look at those too in fairness to the new person presenting. Thank you.
Can I speak again?
Yeah. For public comment, come on up. Last time. Come on. No, not last time.
Not last time forever.
No, Valerie, you're always welcome.
Is that 100 years? Can you say that? The signs already don't conform.
Yeah.
The grandfathered in. The conversation really should be, how do we get rid of the billboards? Not even the digital thing, but we need to get rid of them. They're all in our neighborhood. They're not spread out, you know, equally among Alloway. They shouldn't be anywhere in Alloway. They are certainly do not add to the historic beauty of our neighborhood. They, you know, take away from that. Those kinds of things, billboards and signs, are being done away with in communities, and those communities do show economic growth. And it's, you know, the aesthetic. So that's what we'd like to hear at the discussion. So you'd like to, you know, maybe send that to the committee to be discussed, that how we get rid of them, because actually, you know, that provision in the code that says if you have to spend more than 50% of the current value of it, you know, and again, Trevor did tell me that that was in the works, that provision, the year prior when he rebuilt those two. But again, they're all in our neighborhood, and our, you know, the residents need to come first, obviously. So that's what I have to say.
Thanks. Thank you. I'm sorry. Is that okay? Karen, we'll bring it up.
It's just an agenda.
Okay, thanks. Okay, is anyone else interested in speaking on something that's not on this agenda, this evening's agenda, or regarding the digital sign? Hearing none, we'll close public appearances and move on to action item number 6, request to install fiber optics to Station 8. Mr. Lang.
In front of you, I did put the estimate that was put together by MCE, and Dan Becker is here from MCE. If there are any additional technical questions that I know I will not be able to answer, but the fiber optics connection to the fire department was brought up quite some time ago and is recent as 2017 in the report by the fire chief. I've been working with Brown County and Dan Becker in regards to making this connection if work were to be done in the area. And they are doing that. They're doing it at the school, which would give us an opportunity to connect the fiber optics directly at a reduced cost due to the construction that's already taken place and tie Station 8 with Green Bay directly. So it's a cost-saving measure, and the funds that would be used for this is out of their current operating budget. So there's no additional funds needing to be allocated.
To clarify that, Brad, out of whose budget?
Out of the fire department.
Okay, that was my question. Is this an expense to the village or to the fire?
It's an expense to the village, but that's under the contract that we have with the Metro Fire, so it falls within that budget.
Okay.
And that's in the current budget they intend to execute this?
Yes.
So they've allocated...
There was not funds allocated directly for this, but there are some savings in the budget.
Cover the cost.
Right.
Thank you. I should phrase it differently.
So is the cost the 19.9 or the 78?
It's a combination of the two, so it actually comes into more of the 28 because there's some splicing that, depending on where it ends up going, could be an additional $750. So it's about 24 would be more realistic now.
So it's the 19 and the 7,800.
Correct.
But it's something we need and we're not paying for any extra for.
Any extra for, exactly. And it would be a lot more expensive, I think, initially. And I'm sorry to put Mr. Becker on the hook? On the hook for this one, but I think the estimate before was roughly 40,000. 35 to 40,000 if we were to do it without the schools.
Okay. Thank you. And when would this project take place?
Yet this fall. Okay, that sounds terrible.
Kind of sounds like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And do you need our approval for that?
Please.
Okay. Any questions for Brad? Does anyone want to propose a motion on this item?
I'll do it.
Trustee Dart?
I would move that the fire department should proceed in installing fiber optics to Station 8.
At no additional cost to Alloy?
At no additional cost to Alloy.
Do I have a second on that motion? Trustee Genrich, any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 7, sale of 535 Green Avenue Pump House. This has been on the agenda for quite a while.
Many years.
And we were looking at, the property was condemned. We were looking at raising the property, and an item came in, or an offer came in for the property to update the property and turn it into something that people would like to come to. And so to hold on to the history of Alloy, because it is a historic structure. And the offer was for $1,100, and the offer was made by Thomas O'Rourke. And some may say, why sell it for $1,100? There's a lot of logic there. It's actually what we paid for it many, many moons ago. But it's also to keep the building there for historic purposes. We're going to have someone who's going to dress it up and bring it back to the structure it once was. And the goal is to have an art studio and a tool library and potentially, I don't know what else. But it's going to cost us a whole lot less to sell the property and get it back on the tax rolls than it would to raise it, and we get to save a piece of our history. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
I move to accept the offer to purchase.
Do I have a second?
I'd love to second that.
Trustee Dart, any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you to Mr. O'Rourke for wanting to keep the history in Alloy. Action item number 9. Request from Lorelei Inn, Inc. at 1412 South Webster Avenue to amend their premise description to allow alcohol to be served in their parking lot on August 22nd, 2018. We received a letter saying that Lorelei was approached by a group called Fat Tire Tour, Bicycle of Green Bay, and they are going to hold a 20-mile ride on their Fat Tire bikes, I'm guessing, and they make multiple stops at Green Bay Taverns, starting and ending at Ned Kelly's downtown. There will be about 110 to 150 riders, depending on the weather. And they are asking that, due to the size of the group that they cannot take care of, that they're asking if they can serve the cocktails inside and the beer outside. Dave Heck, the owner, will be outside making sure that everyone behaves. They're only going to be there an hour, and they each get 2 tokens for drinks. So his request is for a variance on the liquor license to allow him to serve beer outside, basically. Do I have a motion on that item?
I'd move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? Folks at the Lorelei have always been good about running events and taking care of things, so I like the idea.
Isn't this tomorrow? Mm-hmm.
It is. So, all in favor, we have a motion to approve and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 10. Action regarding noise variance permit and block party request for CP Block Party and grand opening on September 15th, 2018 from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. As many of you know, CP has been under a huge capital campaign and reconstruction project over the last several years, and they are coming to a close. So they want to celebrate with the community and have a block party. They're going to have music and speakers, and they're expecting to have about 300 people. And so, and it's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., so they're asking for a noise variance in case people clap too loudly, I guess, for the music. So do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 11, action regarding a request from NAMI, or National Alliance on Mental Health, in Brown County for a vendor permit to sell T-shirts at their event on September 22nd. The event is a walk for National Alliance of Mental Health. If you want information on it, it's a 5K walk. Check-in is at 9 o'clock at Green Isle Park. And the walk starts at 10. More information at namiwalks.org. The goal is to reach of this whole walk is to raise $30,000 for their efforts. So far they've raised $16,000 and they have about 80 walkers. So anyone who wants to participate, please do. But do I have a motion to approve the vendor permit?
Move to approve.
Trustee Sampson. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 12. Action regarding North Pedestrian Crossing Project Bid Results and Award.
We had recently opened bids for the North Pedestrian Crossing Project. We have received two bids. We have received a bid from Vinton and Advanced Construction. Vinton Construction was a low bidder at $176,963.92. We have since gone through the bid, and we recommend approval. Engineering estimate on this project was roughly $160,000. The contractor anticipates starting in October with the completion date of November 9th.
November 9th. And just for the folks in the audience, this is the crossing, right, Lindemans?
Yes.
And it includes the construction of a sidewalk on the west side of Riverside and then down to the river, right, or down to the trail, right?
Yep. It includes sidewalk on the north side of Marine Street, west side of Riverside, curb ramps, crosswalk, and installation of a rapid flashing beacon on Riverside Drive. It also includes repair to sanitary sewer from Riverside Drive west to a manhole located near the Fox River Trail.
Okay. Where exactly will that crossing go, Sean?
It's just right here. South of Marine Street, right here.
Okay, and there's sidewalk on the east side.
And that's at the point where the speed limit drops to 25, correct? Right in there, right before that?
Within a couple feet. I think so, yeah.
So that'll be a good deterrent to not slowing down at that point, increasing a little more pedestrian traffic there with the flashing beacon.
I think
beacon.
So. The rapid flashing beacon will help bring attention to the crosswalk.
Does that also include warning lights, like 50 yards ahead, I thought I heard?
There will be an advanced warning light because of the curve and the speed here, yep, in this area here.
Okay, and that's when the beacon is actuated.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Can you just remind me how we're funding this?
Stadium tax funds.
Okay, thank you.
This is kind of the second phase, or the second safe crossing for trail access. Hopefully we'll have some more at some point, but at this point it'll complete the two-phase safe crosswalks there. And our experience on the south end, I think, has been pretty positive, so we would expect the same here.
Question on the funding. So we came in about 10% above what the engineering plan was, correct? And the original idea with the Hawk crossing was about $100,000 per crossing. So are we utilizing some of the funding that we got back from the state for that, and the extra cost is due to the extra physical construction of sidewalk and other things like that? I'm trying to get a better handle on why we're 70% higher than single Hawk crossing.
Well, there's included with the sidewalk, curb ramp, crosswalk, and rapid flashing beacon is the repair of the sanitary sewer.
Oh, thank you. Forgot about that.
And that was estimated at about $60,000.
That fills in the blank. Thank you.
And wasn't the actual cost of the Hawk crossing about $200,000?
The ones on the southern part of Riverside Drive was roughly the 100, but that's, again, remember the state ended up picking up majority of that cost.
Right.
And the rapid flashing beacon we thought would be less expensive, but it's not. It's basically the same cost as the Hawk crossing.
Okay.
So the savings that took place on the south end will cover the cost.
Okay, we have a motion on the table to... We don't have a motion. Can I have a motion on this item?
So
move to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Dart, any discussion? So we'll have our second crossing in November.
One question real quick. About how much different was the second bid than the first? Ballpark, doesn't have to be exact.
$30,000.
Okay, thank you.
And you're confident of the contractor?
Yes. Okay. Actually, Benton Construction was the contractor responsible for the sidewalk placed on the brokerage and St. Joseph Street.
Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 13, action regarding noise variance permit request for Resurrection Parish Picnic on August 26, 2018 from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We talked about it a little earlier. It's from 11 to 3. They're expecting about 1,200 people, and they're going to have a band and mics under a tent on the church grounds in the afternoon. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart. Do I have a second? Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 14, committee appointments. We received a communication or an application from a resident by the name of Donna Simmons, who her business is real estate, commercial real estate for corporate real estate. And she has offered, based on her background, to volunteer to serve on the plan commission as an alternate member. She also, in her application, said that she was interested in historic preservation, and we have a regular opening on that. So she asked if she would be considered for both positions. She's lived in Alloway for 5 years, loves Alloway, and wants to give back. So, can I have a motion to, or I'll make the motion to approve the appointment of Donna Simmons to as an alternate to the Plan Commission, the first alternate to Plan Commission, and a regular third alternate to Plan Commission, and a regular member of the Historic Preservation Committee. Do I have a second?
Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. And thank you to Donna. Reports. Number 15. Let's hear about Pooches and Pints. It was a great event.
You could help.
So the Pooches and Pints event for members of the audience are important. We're aware this was a parks event, but I guess I'm talking about it. But this was the first hopefully annual or inaugural event, and it was held at Green Isle Park on August 3rd. We had temporary fencing that the parks workers did an awesome job on. As well as a double hung gate, which worked out phenomenally. So a temporary fence for the dogs to run off leash. We had live music, some beer and food vendors and food trucks there as well, as well as some vendors selling dog related items. So the Village Valley partnered with Moskowski Family Dog Park in Bellevue, as well as the Lucky Seven Dog Rescue, and we had about. Despite the drizzly weather, we had about 300 participants there, and we each organization raised about $1,700. So,
really?
Yes. So, a very successful event. And
how many dogs?
About 600.
There were a lot.
There were quite a few.
302.
Yeah.
One per person?
Yeah, at least.
In some cases, yeah. Yeah, in some cases,
right.
Too.
Right. We've since had a recap meeting with both organizations, and both organizations would very much like to do it again. They actually asked if we could do two next year. So we will be meeting in January, probably, to discuss that further.
Yeah, this was a great event. You know, being an inaugural event, you never know how things are going to go. And with the way the weather was, we were questioning it earlier that morning of the event. But it turned out great. I want to thank both Trevor and Matt Hahn for all the work they did to get that event going. They did a great job, as well as the other organizations that participated. You know, with that, one thing that I think really helped with the fact that we had so many people show up was our use of social media to get the word out, and the fact that Libby, who's our intern this summer, did a great job of getting those posts out and got the word around. So they all did a great job, and it was a great event.
I thought it was very nice of the dogs to bring their owners to the park that night. But they it really was. People were walking around talking about how great of an event it was. And that's everything from there was a dachshund standing next to a bull mastiff. And they were getting along. And it was a neat thing to watch. And people just enjoyed themselves. And like the guy said, it was misting out. It was kind of cool. Concerned about the turnout, but the turnout was great and people had a blast. Thank you for the update and thanks for doing all of that. That was a lot of work, but it paid off. Action item number 16, or not action item, item number 16, proposed improvements at the Highway 57 crosswalk.
I just, end of July, I met with the DOT traffic engineer, and Becky Nyberg can join us as well. We met at the intersection to review motorist non-compliance at the intersection. Vehicles queued in the left turn lane are stopping in the crosswalk, creating issues. We asked if there were things that could be done there to improve the condition. Again, we asked about additional signage. We asked if diagonal pavement markings could be put in the crosswalk, and we had asked him to look into the timing of the signals. He did look into the timing of the signals. There are loop detectors placed in the pavement of a left turn lane. They looked into it. They are working properly. He looked into whether or not additional signs could be placed, and they're not willing to do that. We did, however, look at other ways to improve that intersection. There were a few things that were done just recently to improve visibility. Chris, if you want to point to the brush there. The overhanging brush there does block some of the visibility there. Pedestrians that are stopped on the west side, that brush can block their vision. Recently, that brush was removed by the Heritage Hill State Park. They're going to remove some more in the near future to increase visibility. There was a do not enter sign on the light pole on the west side that has since been removed. The sign has been removed. So there have been some minor improvements made to improve visibility and safety there.
How about the temporary stop sign that was folded that blocked people?
Unfortunately, we cannot remove that. We talked about that has to remain. We'd asked if that could get moved further up the pole. Mm-hmm. And now that we've been told that it can't, it goes up any higher, then police officers will have a hard time unfolding that in the event that the lights don't work. Not functioning properly.
Sean, what was the feedback about the diagonal painting stripes?
What I've been told is this location is no different than other locations with similar conditions, and they're really not open to adding pavement marking or any additional signage there.
So when they say they're not open to it or they're not excited about doing anything, what's our next recourse if we want to continue this discussion?
I guess I could possibly extend an invitation to Randy to attend a board meeting or a public works meeting, and we can continue to discuss the issues there.
Okay.
So I suppose if we strengthen ourselves, we'd be destroying public property or something. Huh?
Well, it's a state highway. And we don't have jurisdiction.
Yes.
I thought the strongest argument for making a change was that the real problem is in that left-hand turn lane heading south. And if the stoplights were set up differently, for instance, if the last thing before you had a red light here was a green turn arrow, people either go through or not, but I don't think they cheat up thinking they're going to wait for a gap and go on as general green signal. But they weren't open at all to plan around with
the timing. No.
Yeah, the turn arrow would come first or would be longer, or I don't know.
Yeah, his response was, I verified that the loop detector is working fine. I had it programmed that when a car goes over that loop, that the left turning arrow will not activate for 10 seconds. We do that in certain locations. We stood there and watched vehicles enter that turn lane, and they're not open to very many improvements there.
While you were there, did you see people pull up in an effect park on that crosswalk?
I think one vehicle. They indicated that the devices that are located out there are in advance of the crosswalk, the signals, the stop bar. This isn't a unique situation. This is we have similar. The DOT has similar cases like this in locations throughout the Green Bay area, and this is you know, what they want to do.
Do we know what they're planning? I'm assuming long-term they want to do something with this whole interchange. I know they were talking about that when we were talking about redoing Riverside Drive. Do we have any idea when they plan to address that intersection as a whole? Or if they do anymore? Besides when the prison is gone?
There was a project that had been planned or that was being designed that extended from the South Alloway limits, I believe, up to the north limits of Alloway, and that project was put on hold by the DOT.
Yeah. Okay.
And that would have improved, I'm sure that would have improved the intersection.
You know, it sounds to me like what the state has done is they've reviewed it and it's all within their...
Yes.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Standards.
Within their standards. However, it is against the law to cross that when there's pedestrians. It's against the law to proceed into any crosswalk. Is it not? I mean, I'm not... Maybe what we need to do is start writing some citations for people that roll over that.
You're probably right. The pedestrians there, right?
Yeah. So I mean, if the problem's not going to be rectified, maybe we start sending a notice with some citations, you know, that go out to drivers that are violating it.
We could talk to Jason and have it enforced, right?
I mean, cite a few and the word's going to get out. Hey, you know, right. Back it off.
Yeah. So.
I also like the idea of inviting him to a public works meeting.
Okay.
Yes, because we have the right to ask.
You know, and to that point, I would like to have him here because I've got a couple of questions, too, as to it seems like the state is, it's within our standards, so now we're done talking about it. It applies to 172, too, with the compression braking of the trucks. It's like, no, we don't put signs on state highways. What? I think you do, but, you know, let's find out what the protocol is for getting things changed, and maybe he can answer those.
Okay.
So I think it'd be great to have him here.
I'll add him to, I'll talk to him this week and find out if he has availability to join us in the fall of September.
Great, thanks.
I think there's some renewed interest with the DNR and Heritage Hill State Park as well as the village about revisiting that tunnel that's inside Heritage Hill. And if we could get access to that, that would alleviate some of that problem, at least for a while. And there's no promise that that's going to happen, but at least there's some renewed interest in talking about it, and I think better interest than in the past. So,
that's good.
Yeah. Great. And that's located approximately one block this way, just south of Lazar. Right, yeah, you can see the bridge railings there.
Yeah.
Right there. So if we could create access, people could go under there versus crossing there as an option.
All right.
And, one other observation. Could you go back to the view where you're looking south? There might be crosswalks where it's more of a technicality, and yeah, they shouldn't be. But here, that real danger, yeah. If somebody's parked in that crosswalk, and whether you're coming left to right or right to left, you've got to veer around that yellow tip of the island, and that pretty much puts you in a traffic lane for people turning left. If it's a green light, they do that at a pretty good rate of speed. That's just an obvious danger when that does happen. We had somebody come up and testify to that or complain about it, and I can see that. I've looked at that a lot. Right?
That knows that median knows there, and you don't want to remove that. That prevents the left turner from driving across the actual crosswalk, the truncated, they call it, that tan colored plate in the detectable warning field. If you didn't have that nose there, they would probably turn over that, drive right over that.
Yeah. Maybe go up the wrong way as well.
Yeah. If this nose wasn't here, they'd probably cut the corner and go right over the, mm-hmm. the ramp.
For yeah. Them. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it's not. I've gone by there and looked at that, and I agree that is a legitimate. You're putting people.
It's scary.
They're waving, and then they want to get across, and they have to go around. When they go around, if they're not paying attention or they're coming left or right, somebody barreling down the exit from Webster or from wherever, from Webster, wants to make that turn, and they do that pretty fast. So, anyways, if you can express citizen or at least one trustee concern, that really is a potential answer.
Okay, anything else on that? Thanks. Sorry, Chris. I blew your thunder. But action item or not, number 11, Fox River Trail plowing. What else would you like to say about this issue, seeing that you sat here all night?
Nothing.
Well, it was good news, right?
Yes, very good news. It was kind of a moderate winter, so the plowing was not as great as it could have been, but it fell well under the allotted amount of money that the county had to pay that first, I think it's $10,700. So, and we foresee that partnership going on into the future with the county bringing another contract to us here shortly, I would think, because that was an annual contract. So we'll bring that to the board as soon as we get it.
And were we called in to assist at all during any of the plowing activities, or was it all taken care
of? No, all contracted.
And we were happy with the service?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Item number 18. Is there anything that anyone would like to see put on a future agenda from board members? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Trustee Genrich. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, everyone, for being here this evening.